Hi, Steve.
Hi, Naveen. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for chatting with me. I'm looking forward to this.
No, same here. Thank you.
I have to say, the film is, it sounds strange to say it's a ton of fun, but I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you.
It's such a dark film in so many ways that the idea of saying it's a lot of fun seems counterintuitive, but no, it's really well done.
No, thank you. That means a lot. Having worked on it for the last X number of years, when you hear that, because you're so close to it, and when you hear that, that's such a thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was wondering, what is it about, what was it that inspired you to tell this story, of the last victim?
Absolutely. So growing up, I was introduced to a lot of Westerns, and I used to watch a lot of Westerns, thrillers, and got interested in all these, great filmmakers. And when I was about 22, until then, I grew up in Chicago, and I was exposed to all the metropolitan cities. I would say like New York, LA, Miami, that sort of a thing. When I was 22 is the first time I got introduced to the rural Southwest of America. And it was a culture shock on one hand, how small these towns were, and what was the type of life that people lived there. But on the other hand, it was just an opening. Like, to me, the movies lived in my mind, and that landscape and everything just came to life. So it was always a dream to, go there and do a film. And incidentally, around the same time, we worked on a script called The Last Victim, and it was it was an earlier version of it. It was a movie that paid homage to Deliverance and Breakdown and those type of films. And we tried to make it in 2004, but due to a forest fire on Mount Lemmon, the location burned down, and we decided to push it, and then ultimately ended up shelving it until about 2017, when I decided I wanted to direct my first film and went back and picked up the script.
Yeah, you know what? I love that you mentioned the Western, because it's very much a Western, and that's a genre that we don't see a lot of traditional Westerns in the same way. But I feel like, we've got films like Hell or High Water, No Country for Old Men. The Western has changed. So I was wondering for you, like, what is the power of a Western, and how has it changed to you?
Absolutely. If I were to say, in my mind, Westerns were about aspirations. Westerns were about the new frontier, and the romantic land and things like that. And I think what's happened is, I mean, I'm always interested in, human nature and how society forms and things like that. And when you go to the New West, a lot of times it's vestiges of the old glory, and sort of for whatever reason, business, like a highway got moved to another place or something like that, and all of a sudden these towns have remained almost stagnant for 100 years or 70 years or whatever it is. So with that, these once thriving towns are now, you have 30 people living there or 20 people living there, and they have a different sort of ideology, because they haven't been connected with the mainland, so to speak, right? So it's interesting. So it's an exploration. It's a romantic, cinematic exploration of that world. And if there's a story to tell, I wanted to go and explore that. So hope that.
Yeah, it's interesting. And actually, now that you bring that up, it's interesting because I did notice, I'm like, oh, you've got the populations listed on the locations, which is unusual. Someone here, population 300 people or whatever it may be. If I'm re I think that was the case. Did I miss
So
that?
growing up in like, yeah, growing up near the cities and stuff, you always have, even the smallest town has a population of like 200,000 people or whatever, and when I first went to Arizona, that was one of the things I noticed. I would go to places where the nearest neighbor is 30 miles away, and I'm like, how does life happen in that sort of a space? And it's border towns, and you know, and so it was that. And Ashley James Lewis, my writer, he also has you know, a similar upbringing. You know, his dad was in the army, so they moved around quite a bit, and he grew up all over the South. So when I first read one of his scripts, I think it was the Long Shadow at Noon, I really liked his voice. I really liked how the characters in that world lived. So when I decided to do this, I took the old script and went to him and said, hey, Ash, let me know what you think of this. And then he came back with some really interesting notes. And when I got the script, I loved it. I was like, wow, this is the type of movie I want to make, you know. And he had taken the bones and the structure of the original and sort of brought it to this modern day, you know, neo-Western thriller that paid homage to the type of movies that he and I both grew up with.
Yeah, and you have a great key villain in this one. You know, he's phenomenal. Yes. And even I think it's his character that does almost the narration, almost a self-narration as the film is progressing.
Yes.
There's a couple of things he said I wanted to ask you about that I just find fascinating. One of the things he says, and this isn't the narration, he's saying this to Ali.
Yes.
Meaning ain't something you find, it's something you make.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, like, do you believe that? And what does it mean to you?
Yes. So most of the time, you know, we believe that, you know, meaning comes to you like, you know, through, you know, some sort of an experience or whatever it is. But most of the time, what happens is you are the architect of your beliefs. You're the architect of your surroundings. So the way you look, the lens that you look through into the world is what it is. And in a different world, in a different setting, you know, a lot of the things, and it's true about a lot of the great villains in all the great films, you know, they all say things that resonate to us at a very deep level, except that they're trying to address it the wrong way. You know, they came to the philosophy that they came to has relevance and has resonance, but you know, the way they decided to address it, you know, they do it the wrong way. You know, so in this case, yeah, Jake in a different life would be a philosopher.
He really would. which begs this follow-up question, the difference between truth and answers. I thought that was a really interesting line, you know, and you know, he's not it's not just truth. Or what does he say? Oh, he's not looking for truth, just answers. Yes. I think that's Jake. Is that Jake?
That's
Ron Perlman. Pardon?
No, that is Jake. That's Jake. You know, he's talking about it. You know, we wanted to give a little window into who he is and what his experiences were, because we had this prolonged backstory that we had built for Jake, and we wanted to give a little indication into, you know, the world in his mind. And see, truth, obviously, you know, in science, truth and fact, there's a world for that. But also, as human beings, as we live in society, you know, truth is dependent on, you know, the way we were brought up and you know, sometimes indoctrination or the, so in this case, you know, he's gone past that point where, you know, he's understand that, you know, in his mind, truth could be bullshit. So he's looking for answers to the deep questions. You know, he probably is disillusioned by the things that he saw around him, whether it's economically or culturally or, you know, by, you know, even in his government or whatever it is. So in his perspective, he's looking for answers.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a darkness about this film, not just thematically, but physically. I love the scenes that I think closer to the end where you just have the police lights flashing off in the dark, but it seems to get smaller and smaller.
Yes.
As the film goes on, it's real. And I will say this without saying what it is, you got me. A lot of times these twists that happen,
yes,
they either make no sense or
yes,
you can see them a mile coming. And I was watching it. I'm like, okay, what? You got me.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot. And we were, during the making, during the editing, we were very mindful, like, where's that tipping point where, you know, you either give it away, give these things away, or it's a fine balance. But what we focused on, we were always focused on in the moment storytelling. Mm-hmm. So if we were successful in that in the moment storytelling, then we knew whatever the twist may be or whatever it is, you know, it'll just reveal itself, in that manner. So that's what we focused on. And going back to your point about, I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, when you intend, when you are filming it, when you are planning it and things like that, you don't know how it'll ever be interpreted, you know, because that's up to the audience. So to know that one of the themes is isolation and in this vast desert, you know, and that's why as we went along, you know, we wanted to have these, you know, things where even like you would think in a normal scenario when the police shows up, it's safe. But in this case, you know, even the police is like a flicker in this vastness of the desert, you know.
Well, that's one of the things I thought was so interesting. And it really, you know, the darkness is so heavy in this. Yet but the flickers of light, what does it mean to spark light if the world is so bleak, if the world is filled with darkness? What I was wondering from your perspective, what does it mean to find any source of light?
Look, I think whether the film talks about it or not, I mean, the film is an entertainer, but I wanted the film to have, multiple messages, you know, deep within, if you were able to look in. And ultimately, you know, the flicker is about, in any time and today's day, it's about finding the flicker in someone else, that light in someone else, and reaching across the aisle and having a communication and having the heart. So as we all, find these chasms or whatever, in society and we brand each other as one or the other, we're all human and we all have, some sort of light within us. So I think we should respect that and learn to coexist.
I appreciate that. Naveen, the film is, like I said, it's really good. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And the pleasure is mine because, you know, like I said, you know, it's been a long journey and to hear that, it's music in my ears.
I'm glad.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Yeah. All right. You too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Don't worry, I can never stop.